Thank you so much, Rabbi Menchel, and thank you all for, it's such an honor to be here, especially for this occasion. The idea that you all learnt on your own and are making a siyum, the Carlos and Gabby's is well deserved. Not that I could imagine eating Carlos and Gabby's at 10:30 in the morning, but you guys are young. That's great. Eat Carlos and Gabby's at 10:30 in the morning. Enjoy it. It's fantastic. So Bereshus, Rabbi Menchel, and all of your Chashva Rebbeim, all of your wonderful Rebbeim, as Rabbi Menchel mentioned, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means, or not even what it means, how to become successful in learning Torah. Meaning you're starting this amazing journey of learning Torah, not just in a classroom, which is very, very important, because when you're in a classroom, your Rebbeim give you the basic tools to be able to learn. But there's something about learning Torah on your own that's entirely different. There's something about the sense of satisfaction, of gratification, of accomplishment that you have when you learn on your own, where you feel like, you know, this isn't the Torah that I have to learn because I'm being sent to school. This isn't the Torah that I have to learn because my parents pay tuition. This isn't the Torah that I learn because I need a good grade. This is the Torah that I learn because I'm a Jew. And I love to learn Torah, and I want to connect to Hashem. So it's the beginning of an amazing journey, and that's going to be the majority of the Torah throughout your lives is going to be the Torah that you choose to learn on your own. The Mishnayos that you're learning now is really just the beginning. So I want to share with you how I think, based on things that I've read and learned, how to be successful in learning Torah, how to become a Talmud Chacham, and it's going to be three ideas. And so that way, if when you come home from school today, your mom says, what happened in school today? And you're going to say, oh, we had Carlos and Gabby's. She's going to say, what else happened? Oh, there was a guest speaker. What's his name? I forgot. But what did he talk about? And you're going to be able to say three ideas. There are three things that we spoke about. One idea is going to be that you need to work for it. You need to work for it. Okay, that's idea number one. You need to work for it in order to learn Torah. The second idea is you need to daven for it. You need to daven for it. And the third idea is going to be that you are never, ever allowed to let anyone convince you that you can't do it. So again, let's do it again. First idea is work for it. Second idea, daven for it. Third idea, some of you said never, not just never, never ever let somebody tell you that you can't do it. So let's go through one idea at a time. Work for it. This week's Parsha, the very first Rashi, and Parsha's Bukhosa, you know the Rashi? Amelim b'Torah. It doesn't say Rashi on the first Rashi in B'chukosai Teilechu says Rashi. What does B'chukosai Teilechu mean? It can't mean doing mitzvos because the pasuk already says something about mitzvos. It must mean Amelim b'Torah. Now Amelim b'Torah means to toil, to work, to put effort in learning Torah. It does not say Rashi does not say Shatilmo Torah, that you should learn Torah. Rashi does not say that you should be very smart. Nothing to do with smart. Rashi says, Amelim Batorah, that a person has to work in learning Torah. I can tell you that I've had the great, great privilege over the course of many years to be a student of one of the great Talmidei Chachamim in America today, one of the great giants of Torah in America today, Hagon Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. And I can tell you one thing that I see from this genius and this gadol and this giant of Torah that everyone realizes is so big. One thing I see from him day in, day out, he's in the Beis Medrash every day, 7 days a week, all day, and every moment that he has, he's working on learning. I once had the opportunity to go to the apartment of my great Rebbe, together with a few of the other Talmidim. We used to go on Thursday nights to learn with him for just like an hour, just to spend an hour learning with him. We were learning Hilchos Mezuzah for about an hour every Thursday night. We were supposed to learn from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night. And he got involved in a particular passage in Rabbi Kiva Eger that he was working on and working on and working on. And like we noticed it was past 8 o'clock already, and he was still working on it. He didn't seem to notice what time it was. At 11 o'clock at night, he looks up and he says, what time is it? We said, it's 11 o'clock. He said, oh, I didn't realize. 4 hours. He didn't realize that 4 hours had passed from the time we had sat down for our 1 hour chavrusa. But you know what? We weren't complaining because we knew that we were experiencing something extraordinary. We were watching how a giant becomes a giant. A giant becomes a giant not because he's a genius. He may happen to be a genius, but that's not what makes him special. There are lots of geniuses out there. That's not nearly as special as Shetiyu Amelim Batora. That a person has to work for it. No one is ever successful in learning without working for it first. That is message number one, that you need to work for it. What was message number two? Daven for it. Person needs to daven for it. You know, whenever you want anything in life, you got to daven. In my shul, this past Shabbos, the way my shul was set up, anyone here ever been to North Woodmere? Okay, if you... Oh, you live there. Fantastic. So you see in the shul? Have you... Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere. It's like the tall one across from the Young Israel. Okay, it's a very, very tall shul. And the reason it's so tall is that the men's section is on one floor and the women's section is in a balcony. But it's like the highest balcony you've ever seen. I'm not sure why we did it that way, but it's a really, really high balcony. And this past Shabbos, the middle of davening, a chumash, one of those big art school, you know, the stone chumashim, came flying off of the balcony and poof, just landed on the floor. It missed a guy by like this much, a ninth grade boy, Elisha is his name, missed him by this much. And Elisha came over to me afterwards and he said, Rabbi, I have to tell you, I was in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei, right? And I realized that I didn't have a chumash yet for laning. So I davened to Hashem. I said, Hashem, I need a chumash. And next thing I know, a chumash came flying down from Shemayim. Now, that's not actually, I don't think that's what happened. But by the way, a couple of things to learn from that. First is that one thing I learned from actually Rabbi Yair Menchel interviewed once Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger Shlita, also a very great Talmud Chacham. And he was talking to Rabbi Neuberger about davening and about having kavana and tefillah. And he asked Rabbi Neuberger, like, what's a good trick if you find yourself being distracted or thinking about other things during davening? Like, what should you do? So Rabbi Neuberger said, well, a good trick is whatever you're distracted by, you probably need Hashem's help for that also. Meaning, like, when I was your age, if I was thinking about something else during davening, now it's already baseball season, but in the wintertime, let's say, I would probably be thinking about, why can't the Jets just win a Super Bowl, or at least a game? I mean, win something. Why can't the Jets just win something? And I would realize that would be an act of God, right, for the Jets to win. So I would, if Rabbi Neuberger suggested, instead of just being distracted by the Jets, why don't you just ask Hashem for help with that too? Now, is that the thing we should be davening for? Probably not, right? We have bigger things to daven for. So Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky told me that once a boy about your age came over to him and asked him, he said, am I allowed to daven that the Jets, I don't know if it was the Jets or some other football team, am I allowed to daven, I guess it was, I don't know, he lives in Silver Spring, Maryland. Who plays in that area? The Ravens. Baltimore. Right, the Ravens of Baltimore. Right? So he said, am I allowed to daven that the Ravens should win? So Lapiansky said, wow, I'm so excited that you're asking that question. And the guy said, why? Why are you so excited? He said, because if your top priority to daven for is that the Ravens should win, that probably means that all the sick people have been healed, all the people who need to make a living already are making a living, that all the world's problems have been solved, and the only thing left to daven for is that the Ravens should win a game. Now, that's one approach, but to whatever is occupying our mind. If you're thinking in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, ah, I forgot to get a chumash, and now I'm going to have to go out to the shelf and see if there's any chumash there. So you know what? Daven for that. Daven for whatever's distracting you. That's one thing that Elisha taught me. But the other thing is that to believe in tefillah, to believe that tefillah can work. Now, he was joking, obviously. The thing that the chumash came down almost killed him, he was really asking whether he should bench Gomel for it. But there is reality in that. That if you want something, you need to daven for it. I have a dear friend by the name of Rav Daniel Gladstein. He told me that when he was a little boy, he met a big Talmud Chacham by the name of Rav Avigdor Miller. And he went over to Rav Miller and he said, I forgot exactly what the question was, but he was asking something about tefillah, like why we daven for whatever it was, whichever bracha he was asking about. And he said, Rav Miller looked at him and he said, because if you want it, you daven for it. Anything that you want, you need to daven for it. If a person wants to be a successful Talmud Chacham, you want to learn really well, again, what was the first message? What do you need to do? Work for it. And then the second thing you need to do is daven for it. In fact, this is a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nida, I believe it is, the Gemara says, Ma yasa adam v'yechkan. The people of Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, who was a great Talmud Chacham, what do you do to become a Talmud Chacham? Ma yasa adam v'yechkan. What does a person do to become a great Talmud Chacham? And he told him, Yarba b'yeshiva v'yema'it b'schora. He told him, work for it. You have to spend a lot of time learning and not so much time doing other things if you want to become a great Talmud Chacham. And then they said, yeah, but that doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. He said, oh, there's a second ingredient. There's a second, not only work for it, he also said, Yevakshu rachamim mimi shachachma shalo shenemar ki Hashem yiten chachma mipiv das utvuna. You have to daven from the one who's in charge of all chachma. And who's in charge of all chachma?
Hashem.
So you just got to daven to Hashem that you should be successful. You know, there's a bracha in Shmon Esrei that we're supposed to actually focus on being successful in learning and in achieving intellectually. What bracha is that? Anyone know? What bracha would you have that special thing in mind? What's that? You got it. At the tip of your tongue, I see it there. What? Exactly. Chonin Hadas. And the bracha of Chonin Hadas, Chachm Vinas. So the bracha of Chonin Hadas, we're supposed to daven that Hashem should give us success in learning Torah. You know, a lot of times you can tell, thank you so much, a lot of times you can tell what matters to a person by the things that they daven for. You know, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Shoel Adam Trachav B'Shomea Tefillah, that you should daven for things in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah, but really, if there's anything in particular you want, find the bracha that's connected to that thing that you want, and daven for that. And the Rashi comments, Im haya mishakeach talmudo, if you keep forgetting the stuff that you learn, ma'arich b'chonein hadas. Do a lot more davening during chonein hadas. And it's really an amazing Rashi, because first, the obvious point that success comes directly from Hashem and that you have to daven for things. But second of all, what Rashi is telling us is that you should care so much about your success in learning that should be what you daven for. Of course we daven for health, of course we daven for money, of course we daven for whatever our interests are and things like that. When was the last time you really davened, you really asked Hashem to give you the ability to learn better, to give you the ability to remember your learning? And what that tells us is that we're supposed to care about it. It's supposed to matter to us. It's supposed to be something that's important to us. Important enough that when we have a few moments with Hashem, I call it like it's like the Kotel test. You know, before I go to the Kotel, whenever I go to visit Eretz Yisrael, and I have the privilege to do so, before I go to the Kotel, I always think to myself, okay, what's my like top three list of things that I need to ask Hashem for? Like, what would make it on the top three things? And just think to yourself for a second. If you had three things, God gave you, came out of a, well, let's not make a genie mashal, but God came to you and said, you get three wishes. No wishing for more wishes, right? You get three wishes. So what are the three things that you would think about? What are the three things that you would ask for? So Rashi's telling us one of the three things you should ask for is to be successful in learning Hashem's Torah, because that will connect you to Hashem. You know, sometimes when you have too many wishes, it's a distraction. You have to really like focus in on like what's really, really important. What do I really want out of life? So again, we said two things so far. Number one was, what was the first message? Work for it. Number two? Daven for it. Now let's get to the third one. Don't ever, ever let anybody tell you that you can't do it. You know, there is an idea that with enough work and enough davening, 98% of us can be great at something. And when I say 98% of us, I don't mean 98% of the people in this room, probably 100% of the people in this room. 98% of humanity can achieve greatness if they put in all their effort and they single-mindedly work toward a goal. There's it's very, very rare to find a person, a fully able person, who's not able to achieve greatness, who's not able to become great. You know, there's a sefer called Chut HaMeshulash, and it tells the story of a man who grew up to be a great Talmud Chacham, a dayan in the city of Mattersdorf, someone who was quoted by the Chasam Sofer, who was one of the great, great Torah giants of the 19th century. And this man came to yeshiva as an 18-year-old who couldn't read a pasuk in Chumash. He didn't know how to pronounce the, you know, kamatz aleph. He couldn't say the words of the Chumash. He didn't know how to read a pasuk in Chumash at the age of 18. And the Chasam Sofer appointed different boys to learn with him. You know, 1 hour a day, because you can't ask someone who's very strong in learning to give his whole day to this kid, because the kid couldn't do anything. So he would say, just donate 1 hour a day, 1 hour of your time. And he had 10 different boys donate 1 hour of their time to learn with him. And the boy grew and grew and grew, and he became a great Talmud Chacham and a great Dayan. How? Because he worked for it, and he davened for it, and no one ever told him that he can't do it. Let me tell you a true story. I'll give you a name whenever you hear like the actual names. You know, you can look it up, you can Google it, and you'll see that it's a true story. You'll see if you remember the name. Name is George Danzig. I don't think a Jewish person. There was a guy by the name of George Danzig. Listen to this story. He was a student in graduate school for math. Anyone here a favorite subject, math? Not so many. A couple, right? So there are those math brains, right? There are some people that like, they're very good at math. So he continued to study. You know, some people, like when they finish like their last regents in math in like high school, they're like, Baruch Hashem, I'm never going to look at math again in my entire life. Thank you. And other people like really love it. They love numbers and they love to work with it and they want to become an actuary and they want to, you know, they're very into math. So this guy, George Danzig, he was one of those guys. He was very, very into math. And he was in a graduate school called Stanford in California, and which is a very prestigious school. And he was going for his PhD, which is a very prestigious degree, and he was late to class one day. So he quickly ran into class, and he saw that on the board, there were the homework problems were on the board. And he missed it when the teacher was writing the homework problems. So he came into class, and he quickly wrote down the homework problems that the teacher wrote on the board. And then he went back, after class was over, he went back to his dorm room, and he started working on the homework. He's like, man, this homework is hard. This is harder than usual. And he kept on working on it and working on it. The next class was 5 days later. Very often in college and graduate school, you only have class twice a week, like Mondays and Wednesdays, or Tuesdays and Thursdays. So he was at the Wednesday class. The next class was going to be Monday, 5 days later. He spent the whole weekend working on these two problems. And he finally got it. Like right before class, he finally got it. He answered both homework problems. And he was so excited, and he came into the teacher. He handed in his homework. He said, I have the homework. And the teacher said, there's no homework. What are you talking about? He said, the problems that were on the board. The problems that were on the board. Wasn't that the homework? The teacher said, no. I just put two problems that have never been solved by anybody in the history of mathematics. These are two famous unsolvable problems that I put on the board. And he looked at George Danzig's homework, and he had solved two problems. As a student, as a PhD student, he had solved two problems that nobody had ever solved. And you know what his secret was? You know why he solved those problems? Because nobody told him that he couldn't. No one told him these are unsolvable. He didn't hear that you can't solve these problems. No one told him he can't do it. And therefore, he didn't believe that he can't do it. He believed that he could do it. And guess what? He did it. The third message is, don't ever, ever let somebody tell you that you can't do it. I'm going to close with one more story. I had a student. And this student was, this was when I was teaching in a high school called DRS. Anyone ever hear of DRS? Okay, a few of you, maybe we'll go there.
Some are going there next year.
Oh, fantastic. So I taught for 18 years in DRS high school. And if you're going there next year, my youngest son is going to be in 12th grade next year. So find him, make sure he's in the base medrash learning. Okay, so I taught in DRS for 18 years. At some point I was teaching the... we don't like to say top, bottom, middle, but the top 11th grade class. Let's, you know, between us, right? Okay. So I was teaching the top 11th grade class. And parents came in, and they started talking about their son, who was getting, you know, marks in like the 80s, I would say, like low to mid 80s on his tests, which is great. It's fine, you know. But for the kids in that class, usually that would be disappointing. Meaning for kids in that class, they're used to getting 98s and 99s. And, you know, sometimes you have like these tests. You know, one of my kids will come home, I got 114 on a test. I'm like, wait, how many was it out of? You know, like there's nothing more than 100%. But you know, these kids were used to very, very high numbers. And this kid was getting, you know, 82, 83, whatever it was. So I was nervous, like, how do I tell the parents that, like, he's working hard and he's a good boy? And, like, you know, and I said, look, his grades are, you know, in the low 80s. And right away the father said, I don't care what his grades are. I said, oh, okay. I said, okay, well then what do you care about? He said, I want to know, is he happy? Is he working? I said, yeah, he's working like crazy. He's really, really pushing himself. He said, let me tell you something about my son. He said, when my son was in fourth grade, the teachers told us, we had him evaluated, the teachers told us he will never, ever make it in a regular school. That we need to put him into a special school. He can't be in the yeshiva. He needs to go to public school. He needs to be in a special school. He's never, ever going to make it. And he said, and my wife decided to spend her every waking hour working with him and pushing him and teaching him and day after day after day. And you know what? We never, ever told him that he can't do it. We never, ever told him that the teacher said he can't do it. We never told him that anybody said that he can't do it. Do you realize what an accomplishment it is that he is in the honors shir in 11th grade? Do you know what, how many hours and how much effort went in to get him to where he is right now? And I was like blown away. And I looked at the kid entirely differently from then on. So let me tell you what happened to this kid. After he graduated DRS, he went to probably, I don't want to say the name, but probably the top yeshiva in Israel for guys coming out of DRS. The top yeshiva in Israel. He went for 2 years. Then he went to college, and he finished at the top of his class. And then he got into a very difficult to get into graduate school. He was accepted to four different dental schools. Not so easy to get into. He was accepted to four different dental schools, the top dental schools. And how did he do it? He worked for it. He davened for it. And no one ever told him he can't do it. He didn't believe anybody who said that you can't do it. So God willing, all of you, you're going to become great Talmidei Chacham because you're going to decide right now, this learning is just the beginning. These Mishnayos that you're learning right now, it's just the beginning. You're just getting started. But you have to remember that it's a lot of work and you're going to be willing to work for it. It's going to be the most joyous work you do in your life. You're going to daven for it, and you're never, ever going to let anybody tell you that you can't do it. And through that, you should all give a lot of nachas to all of your wonderful Rebbeim, Rabbi Menchel, your wonderful principal, and you should achieve great, great things in life. Mazel tov on this very, very beautiful scene.